Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I am your host, Hannah Elise, and a big happy Taylor Swift week to those who celebrate. That is me. I'm celebrating. MetLife girlies, it is our time. Stand up. I'm going to Taylor Swift this week. Ah! I'm sorry. I'm like freaking out. I can't actually understand that that's happening, but it is. Happy Taylor Swift week. Also, happy 20th episode of this podcast. I don't know if 20 is a lot or not a lot, but it does kind of feel still surreal that I've been doing this for 20 episodes now. So that's exciting. And with another 10 episodes comes another installment of Dear Diary, which is what I like to call the advice sessions / Q&A episodes that I like to do. I decided to start doing this at episode 10, and I want to do them every 10. So like 10, 20, 30, 40, all of those are going to be an installment of Dear Diary, because I don't know, I feel like it's fun to have that in there to catch up with me, for me to catch up with you, answer questions, give advice, just a fully interactive episode. And I do interactive parts of episodes a lot. I'll post things on the Instagram stories, questions or anything like that that I want y'all's feedback on, or things for y'all to respond to that I'll talk about in the episode. But these episodes are specifically for your questions. I have really intense allergies right now, and I've never had allergies before, and apparently those can just like randomly pop up at any given time, even if you've never experienced them before, which is super annoying. So I just keep sneezing. So hopefully I don't do that. I had to sneeze like a few times before I started this podcast. So I'm really hoping. Also, it's really annoying that this is hitting me right now before Taylor Swift. Like, are we serious? But anyway, I put up a question sticker on the Instagram story, which if you don't follow the podcast Instagram, it is Digital Diary Pod. And that's where I'll post future things like this for episodes like this if you want to be a part of them or just follow along for anything regarding the podcast. I have been so shit at posting on there as of late because I just have felt so like I'm playing catch up everywhere else that has kind of fallen to the wayside. And I hate that because that's supposed to be the account that I can just post whatever. And I think that my problem is that I was trying to have a sequence on there, like one post would be a colorful one and then the next one would be white, so every other one would be like I don't know how to explain this. If you look at the Instagram, you'll see what I mean. It has like an order to it. The posts have an order to them for their color, so it kind of looks like a checkerboard, if that makes sense. But I feel like when I set something like that for myself, this is so freaking stupid and trivial, like it's just Instagram, it's not that serious, but when I set something like that and I want to have a pattern for things, I'm like, oh, I can't post this because it doesn't fit the pattern. So I have to wait for the next thing that fits the pattern. And then I just don't post. So I think I'm just going to say fuck the pattern and do what I want and just post whatever. Because that account is supposed to be more like a dump account of like just things that make me happy and things that I want to post that I don't post on the main, but also posting things related to the podcast, obviously, and the episode specifically. So yeah, this is me saying I'm going to get back to that. I'm just going to not even worry about what the feed looks like. I don't know. I feel like when I start a new Instagram account, this is literally so dumb. I don't know if anyone cares, but when I start a new Instagram account and I have a fresh slate, I'm like, oh, okay, this is a good opportunity to have like a color scheme or a theme, because you know those Instagram accounts that you go to and they are so aesthetically beautiful and their presets or whatever the fuck they use all match, and it's just like the whole thing just goes together so beautifully. I want to have one of those so bad, but I'm not like coordinated enough for that. It's too much. Like it's just taking it way too far for me. I'm like, I guess that's why other people are doing it, because there are already great accounts out there that are aesthetically pleasing. I'm just not going to be one of them, and that is going to have to be fine. But when I started this account, I was like, okay, this is my chance because I have a fresh, clean slate and I can do something aesthetic and cohesive, because I love looking at those and they like scratch a part of my brain in a weird way, and just I love them. That was so weird. Did I even use that phrase right? I'm not even sure. But it has in turn... I'm not even doing it. I don't even have a color. What am I even... I'm thinking way too much about it. It's never been that serious. It's just Instagram. So anyway, my point was that there is an Instagram for the podcast. It's Digital Diary Pod if you want to follow it. I posted my question sticker on there the other day, and I received lots and lots of great questions from you guys. So I'm excited to sit down and answer some of them today. I'm trying to pick ones that are more advice based so that I can make it and not just about myself, but I also want to do some about myself just to have like a catch up kind of get to know me better moment. A lot of y'all really liked the We're Not Really Strangers card game episode, and that episode was literally all about me and just getting to know me better, but I got really positive feedback on it. And I ordered one of the expansion packs for the We're Not Really Strangers game. I ordered the anxiety one because I have anxiety, as I've said every single episode, but I thought that that would be a cool pack to have, again, to answer as journal prompts for myself. But I was thinking I could maybe do a part two and answer those, like do the anxiety pack whenever that comes. When the fuck, where is that? I thought about that the other day. Like, where is it? It has shipped. Okay, where, bitch? Oh, it's supposed to be here on Thursday. That is like taking a long time. I thought it got lost because that happens sometimes, or stolen. That also happens. But anyway, all right. I haven't really spoken much today. If you can't tell, I'm just kind of word vomiting. So apologies, but my drink of the day is just water. Not exciting. I'm recording this at almost 7 p.m. I was gonna make a coffee for this. I'm almost regretting not making a coffee for this, to be honest. I had one earlier, but whatever. I don't need it. I'm fine. I'm capable of doing things without having a coffee in front of me. Or am I? Let's get into the episode. First of all, I got a lot of questions specifically geared towards friendships, making friends, friendship breakups, friends in your adulthood, 20, all those types of things about friends. And I wanted to say that I'm planning on making a whole episode on friendships in your 20s. So I'm saving those questions for that episode to give me things to touch on. And then if I just want to throw some of them at the end, I will. So that is coming in an entire episode because another thing that I realized while I was reading the responses I was getting was that a lot of us are dealing with or struggling with or wondering about very similar things. There were a lot of patterns in the questions, and it just kind of made me feel comforted and reassured. And I'm hoping I'm sharing this so that maybe it will help you feel comforted and reassured that at any given time, you are never the only person going through something or struggling with something or wondering about how to deal with something. You simply are not ever alone in that. And that was just a little nice reminder to me because I just saw so many questions about friendships, like how to make friends. I'm feeling lost on this and it feels hard to make friends in my 20s. And also, I feel like I sound a little nasally. I'm like hearing it in myself. So if it's coming across that way to you, I am sorry, and I hope that all of us as a collective group can choose to look past that in this moment because I am just as annoyed as you are about the whole allergies thing because, anyway, you guys get it. I'm going to do a whole episode about friendships and specifically friendships in your 20s because I think that is such a unique thing to navigate, and it is definitely a lot more complex, or at least it feels like to me and apparently some of you guys. It's more complex to navigate and to even make friends in your 20s than it was when maybe you were younger. So that is coming. Thank you for asking all of your questions about that. It's funny, I've been planning that episode and I've already been outlining it. And then I posted this question sticker and I got a lot of questions about that. So I'm glad that I'm planning on making that episode soon. It probably is going to end up being the next episode because it seems that it's something that's on a lot of people's minds. So hopefully that can be helpful. But yeah, and just a reminder that we are all really in this life thing together. So many people are asking about the same things, the same themes of things, and just feeling similar ways, which I think, I mean, it's kind of comforting. It's not comforting that we're all kind of confused, but it is comforting to know that we're all kind of confused together. Wanted to preface this with that. And now let's get into the questions.
Hi, I just wanted to pop in really quick and give you a couple of content warnings. If you don't want to hear about these things right now, maybe click off of this episode. But I'm going to be talking about OCD in this episode, and I'm also going to be talking about my relationship with food. So if either of those things are touchy subjects for you, I completely understand. But I wanted to give you a little heads up before we get into this. And yeah, let's get started. So I got a bunch of questions related to post-grad life and your first year post-grad. Specifically, somebody asked basically advice for getting through your first year post-grad when it feels like everyone else has it figured out. And I want to say first and foremost that absolutely nobody has it figured out. I promise, no one, especially in your first year post-grad. That is your first year after graduating, whatever level of schooling you completed. For me, it was my first year post-grad of college. That first year is probably one of the most confusing transition periods in your life, because you are going from having so much structure, you're having people, authority figures telling you basically what your path is. You're going from one grade to the next, and you just keep moving, and there's a progression and a natural flow that you move through that's literally already been set out for you. You don't have to think about it. You're just kind of on that path. But then once you graduate, you are making that path. No one else is telling you what to do anymore. You're not being led through a natural progression of, okay, you do this thing and then you do this thing and then you do this thing. And even if you do have structure, I'm not saying that we all have absolutely no structure, but it's not the same, is what I'm saying. And it can be really confusing. I always use the example of when you're going through school, you have everything laid out in front of you, but then once you graduate, your future just looks like a blank canvas and you have all of the paints or the markers or whatever in your hands, and it's your job to create the path. You are in control of it, nobody else. So with that, this transition period is inherently very difficult. It's confusing. It's overwhelming because you have to make so many decisions, it feels like. And when we were growing up, we could see so far into the future with where we were going to be. When we were in the fifth grade, I don't know, I'd be like, okay, well, one day I'm going to be a senior in high school. One day I'm going to be in the 12th grade. That's like so many years ahead, but I could look that far into the future and know exactly what I was going to be doing, which I feel like subconsciously at a young age gave me this sense of comfort, I guess, because I didn't really have to question my near future. But now I'm questioning my near future, my mid future, and my far future. I'm questioning all of it because it's literally all just a blank canvas. So trust me, I don't know if anyone actually feels like they have it figured out. And even if you're looking at other people and it looks like they have it figured out, they are probably also confused. Actually, no, not probably. They are definitely confused about at least something. No one is ever sure about everything all the time. It's just not possible, because that is not human nature. Human beings love having problems to solve, and we're always trying to solve our own problems. I said this in an episode, a few episodes ago, I think, that life is just a series of problems and then finding solutions to those problems, and then a new problem arises and then you find a solution to that one. And not saying that in a negative way, just people love problem solving, and we feel good and we feel a rush when we solve a problem. And if you don't have any problems to solve, then there's nothing going on. So everyone has something they're trying to figure out at all times. Nobody ever has it all figured out. And also in saying that, I don't think any of us ever will have it all figured out. We may feel like we could have a majority of it figured out at any given time, which is good, but it's never going to be 100%. And we have to become okay with that and just accept it. That's just part of it. That's part of life. So just go easy on yourself and realize that In your first year post-grad, you may feel like you need to have every step you're going to take for the rest of your life figured out, but you don't, and you physically can't. So don't put that pressure on yourself. Allow yourself to try new things. Allow yourself to decide whether you like them or not. Allow yourself to change your mind if you want to, because the most important thing you can do is just be kind to yourself and give yourself grace and trust yourself and believe in yourself, because if you do that, then you'll be able to move through this difficult phase, at least knowing that you're doing your best. Next, this is a question for me, and somebody asked me to talk about my faith. I don't know if I've ever really talked, at least in depth. I know that I have made comments about it and just said a few things, but I've never actually gone into my faith, I guess. I don't know, like deeper. So, since I love the podcast and I feel like I am way more open, I get not, I don't know. I feel like I can just say shit on the podcast because I'm just talking into a mic. Something about it just feels more vulnerable. And I've shared some pretty vulnerable things on this podcast, so why not? Let's get into it. My family is Catholic. I was born and raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school until the end of fifth grade. I went to church every week until college, and then I'm reading off bullet points because I needed to summarize like 24 years of my life into one answer. So if it sounds like bullet points, it is. But I'll expand. Hold on. These are just the background things that I feel like are important to know. So I went to church every week, literally from the time I was born until I went away to college. And then when I was in college, my freshman year, I found a group on campus of other Catholic students, and I would go to the church on campus. I would go, but I wouldn't go every week, but I found that community there. I lived really close to the church, the campus church, my freshman year. And then sophomore year, when I moved to another part of the campus, I was farther away, so I didn't really go. But I had a really tough time in my sophomore year, and I think I knew at that point that I just didn't want to be at that school anymore. So I ended up going home every other weekend, pretty much, my sophomore year. I know I did that my spring semester of sophomore year. So I would be home visiting my family every other weekend. And when I was home on Sundays, I would go to church with my mom. So I got back into it my sophomore year. And then I moved home after my sophomore year of college and was living at home to finish out my degree. And I transferred to another school and I was commuting. My mom goes to church every week. She would go with my grandparents, and then my grandpa passed away. She goes with my grandma now every week, and I would join them. But then COVID hit my junior year, so obviously we couldn't go in person. They started doing like the streams and stuff, all of that. So there was like a good chunk of time for like probably a solid year that none of us went in person because my grandma is obviously older and we didn't want her to be exposed. No, oh my God, not Be Real. Bitch, I have not been on Be Real in like 2 months, relax. Anyway, so COVID happened and we stopped going in person. We would just kind of do the live streams and watch it on TV and stuff. But that's kind of where I was at the end of college. And since moving out, I've essentially been trying to figure out how I feel and figure out what I think independently. And I'm nervous that if my family members are listening to this, that they're not gonna like what I'm gonna say. So sorry, but I've come to, and this isn't like a new realization I've had. I've been feeling this way for the past several years, but it's just kind of been building more and more over those years. I just don't agree with so much that the Catholic Church as the institution, like the capital C church, does and says and teaches. I think that it can be hypocritical this is so awkward for me to say. I've never said this out loud. Well, at least not on a public forum. But that's just how I personally feel. I also do not believe in, like, pushing my religious beliefs on other people and vice versa. Like, I think that it's awesome that we all can believe what we all want to believe, and we all are entitled to that, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think that respecting what other people believe is really important, unless it's hurting people. And some of the things that I feel like the Catholic Church, I don't know much about other churches or religions really, because I grew up Catholic and that's really all that I ever have known, and I've never learned, like, at all in depth about any others, so that's why I can really only speak on that one. But there's just some things that they do and say that I just really don't agree with at all. And I, for a while, associated the capital C church and God as the same thing, because sometimes they feel so one in the same because they're so intertwined, but they aren't the same thing. God is not the like, there are a lot of different religions. There's not just one that's the right one. From my perspective, it feels like every religion is just a different interpretation of God or whatever higher power your religion believes in. But going back to God, if you have a God, I don't know, this is so complex. I don't want to say anything wrong because this religion, I feel like, is such a touchy subject. But from my perspective, every religion that has a God is just a different interpretation of, like, God and his life and his word and everything. And one religion, you can look at the same thing that God did or said, and one religion can say this about it and one can say this about it, and they could be completely different, but it could be the same thing. They're just looking at it from different perspectives based on their ideals and things like that that they have built into their religions and what the church, you know, what says or whatever. So I have started to separate God from the capital C church. I've separated God from the Catholic Church institution because some of the shit that they do and say, I'm like, God does not, there's no way he approves of this, because it's not like, it's not following his word to love other people the way that he loves us and all of that. I've just become more skeptical, I guess, of the church institution, and that clouded the way that I looked at God himself. But I've now learned and just stepped into the fact that it's not about God. It's about the church. The church is what I have the problem with, not God himself. So I've started to separate the two, essentially, because for a long time I associated them together. And the conclusion that I have come to at this point in my life is that I take what I want and I leave what I don't. So if I go to church with my mom and we go to Catholic church, if I resonate with something that I hear, I keep it with me. And if I don't agree with something, I leave it and I don't keep it with me, period. That's it. And I'm just taking what I want, leaving what I don't, and I'm keeping in the back of my mind the same. I feel like the core principles of what God wants is just for people to treat others with love and respect because he loves us. So if I'm following that and I'm taking things from readings and homilies and things like that that I resonate with, things from the Bible that I resonate with, I will take the principle. But if there are things that I don't resonate with, I'm not going to throw the whole thing away. I'm just not going to hold on to that part because it's not, it doesn't align with me, I guess. That's my answer to that question. That made me really nervous. I don't know the last time I felt that nervous to talk about something in this podcast. I usually don't feel nervous to talk about stuff. I'm usually an open book, but religion is something that is so, or can be so polarizing. But I love that everybody has their beliefs or lack thereof. If you don't believe in anything, that's okay. Like, I respect that. But what I don't respect is when other people try to push what they believe onto everyone else in a way that's harmful. Or if people are preaching things that are harmful to others, like, I don't think that's cool. But I respect everybody else's beliefs, if you believe in something or if you don't. And that's really it. I do kind of hate, though, when people who maybe aren't religious or atheist, or I don't even know what all of the things are called, if you don't believe in God or a God or anything or whatever. I see it sometimes on social media, and I'm obviously not saying that this is representative of every single person, because it's not. But when I see just some people, like, kind of clowning people who are religious or do believe in God, but they're not hurting anyone, like, that annoys me, because why are you doing that? Like, what's if they're not doing anything wrong and it's not hurting anyone and not affecting you, like, leave people the fuck alone and let them have their thing. And that's it. Like, can we all just be kind and respectful of each other? I feel like that's, like, not that hard. Anyway, that's my answer. Next, this is another really fun topic. Somebody asked for advice on coping with OCD. If you didn't know, I have OCD, and it is one of the worst things I have had to deal with in my life. I hate it. It makes every day so much harder. And when I developed OCD, I've had anxiety for a while, like diagnosed anxiety for a while, but the OCD part didn't come in until college. And it's just been, oh my God, I miss my life before OCD, because it was just so much easier. But that wasn't the question. I just wanted to give you some background. If you don't know what OCD is at all, hold on. Obsessive compulsive disorder is characterized by unreasonable thoughts and fears that lead to compulsive behaviors. Yeah, that's very broad. There are a lot of different ways that it manifests in each person, so everyone's case of OCD is different. Some of them have similar themes, obviously, but that's the general. So symptoms usually begin gradually and vary throughout life. Excessive thoughts that lead to repetitive behaviors. My first piece of advice for anyone with OCD would be to talk to someone, like a professional, a therapist, a psychologist, a doctor of some kind. I don't even have a therapist. I need a therapist. I've been saying that for a lot of episodes now, so I'm sorry if y'all are disappointed in me that I still have made no progress on that. But that's what I think is number one on my advice list, is getting help from somebody who actually can give you good coping mechanisms and things like that. Therapists, psychologists, doctors, all of those people that are trained in things like that, and they help tons of people every day. I feel like that's a great place to start. But if you don't have that, or access to that, or you want just an answer that isn't just that, my personal advice and what I do is literally just tell myself that it's not real. Which is, it sounds really simple and kind of dumb, like, oh, you're just going to tell yourself that it's not real. But I mean, I'm talking back to myself in my head all the time. My OCD and those thoughts are, they sound like they're me talking to myself. I'm like thinking these thoughts, right? And then I respond back to them in my head. This whole conversation is happening in complete physical silence. And I'm like, shut up. Like, this makes no sense. This is not real. It does not make sense. And I try to kind of shift my thinking to what I know to be true and what is rational and actually real. So if I have a thought and I'm about to essentially how it works, I guess, at least for me, is I'll have like a scary thought, and then the compulsion part comes in, and I'm like, okay, well, I have to do this so that the thought doesn't manifest itself and it doesn't actually come true. And then I feel like if I don't do the compulsion part, then the thought's gonna happen. Like, whatever scary thing I thought of is gonna happen. So you just, it kind of scares me into just doing the compulsion, because I'm like, well, this is easier to do than having to deal with it. This actually happens, you know? And so those thoughts like manifest from some of like my biggest fears. And so when that happens, when I have those thoughts, I just tell myself that this makes no sense. Like, I'm not gonna, like, nothing bad is gonna happen to me if I pick one apple over the other when I'm making my oatmeal, because that makes no fucking sense. And then I literally force myself to not do whatever it is that my brain wants me to do. Like, if my brain is like, you need to pick this apple because if you pick this other apple, then something's going to happen. My hand will literally go over the second apple and I'm like, Hannah, what the fuck? Like, that makes no sense. Pick the damn first apple you were going to take. There's nothing wrong with it. And nothing's going to happen to you if you eat that apple. It's fine. And for people that don't have OCD, you're probably listening to this and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I'm hoping that at least a couple people will understand what I'm saying. But I have found that literally the only thing that has ever actually helped me to stop doing the compulsions is just kind of cutting them off cold turkey and not doing them at all. For any thought, even the scariest of thoughts, I'll be like, oh, I'll make an exception. No, no exceptions. I stop myself from doing all of them, even though every single fiber of my being wants to do them. I won't let myself. I just won't. I'm like, no, I said I'm not going to do them at all. And it doesn't matter what it is. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. And that's what I did in college when I first started having OCD. After dealing with it for a few months, I literally just cut myself off cold turkey and I was like, I'm not doing this. And then I didn't do it again for a while. Like, I didn't have any compulsions again for a while, and then they started up again, and it's been harder the second time around to just cut myself off. But I decided probably about a month ago now that that's what I'm gonna do. And it is honestly terrifying, because my brain is convincing me that these things are gonna happen. Like, they're legit going to happen if I don't do these compulsions. But I'm also telling myself, I'm not allowing myself to do them, to do the things that my brain wants me to do. I'm not allowing that, because I'm trying to take the power away from the intrusive thoughts and away from the OCD that's trying to poke through. And when I take its power away, then I can start to manage better. But I also know that I need to see a fucking therapist. And if you're listening to this and you're like, Hannah, you need a therapist, I know that. But that's just how I cope right now. And that's the only thing that's helped me. So when I get a therapist, I will let you know what they say specifically. And I'll be able to share more medically sound and medically backed advice for this. But for right now, that's what I'm rocking with. So, yeah. God, those were two really hard-hitting questions back-to-back, and they're still going. Oh my, why did I pick? I picked some of the deepest possible topics and just put them all into one episode. Next, somebody said, I feel like I'm always on autopilot. What advice do you have for being more present? I struggle with this so much every day. And my biggest advice for this, honestly, is to turn your phone off. Or if you can't turn your phone off, do not go on social media. Limit your screen time. Get yourself, however you need to do it, to not get caught up on your phone. I feel like a lot of the time I am not present because my face is in my phone. And I am addicted to my phone and to social media, like I feel like a lot of other people are. And it's a problem. I was listening to an episode of Anything Goes, which is Emma Chamberlain's podcast, and I listened to the episode about her doing a mini dopamine detox. Essentially, for a week, she told herself she wasn't allowed to scroll on social media, she wasn't allowed to listen to podcasts or listen to music or watch YouTube videos or basically anything that she could get stuck in that would distract her from getting done the things that she needed to do. Look, go listen to the actual full episode for the full explanation, but I listened to that episode and I was like, oh my God, I need to try this because I feel so out of it so much. I feel like I'm not present. I feel like I'm kind of just watching myself do things. I'm not even there. I feel like I'm on autopilot and I just feel so distracted. I can't focus. I cannot focus. Like, my focus has been so bad. And I decided for one day, I was just going to try this, dip my toe in. And I did my mini version of this. So I just essentially, I didn't let myself get on social media or scroll on social media. If I sometimes would open my phone and my finger would automatically go to an app like Instagram. My finger just went to Instagram and I would click on it because that was what my, it's like my muscle memory at this point to just cycle through my social media apps and scroll until I get bored on one. And then I go to the next, scroll, go to the next, and it's just a cycle. If I caught myself doing that, I exited out immediately. I basically told myself no social media. And I also didn't let myself listen to any music or podcasts. I always have music or a podcast or like a YouTube video or something on when I am doing stuff around the house, just so that my brain can be occupied by something, because I have become uncomfortable doing things in silence, which is wild. And I feel like really bad. And no wonder I've had such issues with focusing. My brain always needs to be stimulated because I'm constantly stimulating it. So I did this for just a day. And I want to do it for longer because, honestly, I was so productive this day because I was forcing my brain to only focus on one thing at a time instead of doing a million things at a time that I usually do, but kind of half-assing most of them because my brain cannot fully focus on multiple things at a time. And I don't think that's possible. But I was always distracting my brain. I was always giving myself something else to focus on or think about while I was doing something else. I just don't like what that has done to me. And I felt like I was breaking the autopilot thing. Like I felt like I was putting my foot on the brake like you do in a car when you're on autopilot and you have to stop the autopilot. Wait, no, that's cruise control, not autopilot on cars. What the fuck? I don't have a Tesla. My car does not drive itself. I drive it. But you know, when the speed stays at the same, cruise control. That was what I was thinking of when I was saying that. Either way, doing this and disrupting what I'm typically stimulating my brain with made me feel like I was turning off autopilot because it was forcing me to actually focus on what I was doing and not just letting my brain be carried away with other things, other thoughts, or being distracted in one way or another. So I feel like my biggest advice for being more present is to get off your phone and get off of social media, because the world is happening in front of you. It's happening around you. And I know for me, I am looking down at my phone so much and I'm missing everything that's happening around me. And this has been going on, but I am making a conscious effort now to stop this because I really hate it. And just taking that one day to do that little mini detox. Obviously, a dopamine detox, and Emma says this in her podcast episode, isn't actually fully possible because dopamine is something your body produces. So you can't just completely turn that off. But the point was just to reduce how much you're stimulating your brain in a million different ways. Just doing that for one day showed me how fucking distracted I am by my phone. My phone is meant to be a tool, not a crutch, and I have just been using it as a crutch for so long that I've just gotten completely used to that, and my brain like doesn't know how to focus on only one thing, which is not good at all. So that's, I think, my biggest piece of advice. And also, someone's car alarm has fully been going off for like 5 minutes. So I really hope you can't hear that because it's really annoying. I'm going to answer two more because they're both also, well, this next one is another hard-hitting topic, but I've already been talking for a really long time. So the next topic that someone asked about is, how did I heal my relationship with food? And first of all, I didn't. If it seems that way, I guess that's good, but I didn't. This is something that I struggle with, again, a lot. And I haven't figured out the answer, pretty much. But I did want to talk about where I've been at with this and the progress that I've made. I don't have a definitive answer. I wish I did. But it's a very much a work in progress for me. So I'm hoping this at least helps a little bit. But very, very recently, and when I say that, I mean very, very recently, I have started seeing food as fuel for my body. Because I've noticed how tired I am and how little I can focus when I haven't eaten yet or I haven't eaten properly. I feel those effects physically. And I mean, obviously. But I don't know, I've just started to pay more attention to that lately, so it's been easier for me to understand that food is fuel, not only just for my body, but for my mind. I am groggy when I haven't had food. I can't focus. I'm like moody. It affects every part of me. And then compared to times where I have eaten or whatever properly. I don't even know what that means either. I don't know fuck all about nutrition. I don't know how much of what I need to eat in a day. I don't know what macros are. I have no idea any of that. I have no idea how much of everything I'm supposed to be having. Like, I don't know. I don't know any of that. I know that I need to get fruits and veggies. I need to get protein. And then everything else just kind of falls into place around that because of what I pair with the fruits and veggies and the protein. Like, I end up getting like the carbs and the fats and all that stuff. See, I don't know any of that. I just stick to the basics. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm just trying to find what is best for me and what makes my body and my mind feel the best. I've recognized directly how I feel in all aspects when I have eaten versus when I haven't. And I've realized and recognized that food is fuel. And I feel like that was a really big step for me. Just understanding that food is not my enemy. I need it. It's like gas in a car. The car can't go without gas. And it's the same for us. Our bodies can't go without fuel, without food and water and all that, you know. But fundamentally, that is the truth. And I've come into that realization after just feeling like food was my enemy for so long because I wasn't, I don't know, I just had that negative correlation in my mind. But as of very recently, I started seeing it as fuel, which I feel like was a really good step in the right direction. The whole thing really is about experimentation for me. It's very much a work in progress, as I said. It's switching my mindset. I can't function without food. I need it. And I know that certain foods are better for certain things, but I don't know about any of that, as I said. I do want to learn more about it. I'm aware of what I'm eating, but only to a certain extent, I guess. I want to learn more about what I should be fueling my body with and how much of it and just how I can go about all of that in a healthy and positive way. And I know there's tons of info out there. There's tons of people who are professionals and have so much knowledge to share. So definitely tons of resources, probably a lot of free ones. The internet is free. YouTube, lots of great people on there. So I do want to do that. But basically, I did not completely heal my relationship with food. It's a work in progress. I'm really proud of the progress that I have made, but I also have days that I feel like I'm stepping backwards. I take one step forward and two steps back sometimes. Sometimes I take 7 steps forward. Sometimes I take no steps forward and 10 steps back. Like, it is up and down. It's not linear. And that's okay. That's just the process. And I'm learning as I go and I'm coming into it and I'm figuring it out and it's going to be okay. But I think that I'm starting to shift my mindset in a positive way now. So that's kind of where I'm majorly at with that. But I don't count calories. The only time I ever did count calories, I felt myself slip into a negative place very fast. Like, shockingly fast. It's just not for me. Counting calories is not for me, and I don't think I'll ever do it again. I believe there's a difference between counting calories and just being aware of what you're eating, at least in my mind. No one else has to agree with me at all, but for me, I want to be aware of what I'm eating. I want to know what's good for me and what feels like fuel to my body and what makes me feel good, but I don't want to, you know, count every single calorie, because for me, and I just spoke about having OCD, I will become obsessive with it, and I know that about myself, so I just don't do it. And I believe there are other ways for me to just make sure that I'm fueling myself properly. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that. Another really tough topic. God, I got so many hard-hitting topics and questions this round. I'm going to end on a little bit of a lighter one. Somebody asked, how to prepare for college? I'm a senior who is graduating at the end of the month. First of all, if you are a senior out there listening to this and you're graduating, congratulations. I'm very proud of you and happy for you. If you are a high school graduating senior like this person and you're planning on going to college or another form of higher education, here's my advice to you. And I love talking about this. I love talking about college and giving college advice. It makes me so happy because I feel like I had not a typical college experience. And at the time, I was like, why the fuck can I not just have a typical college experience and have a blast like everybody else? But not everybody else. That was a blanket statement. Not everyone has the college experience. And college is not the best 4 years for every single person. It is for some people, and for some people it's not. And both of them are okay. But for me, it wasn't. And at the time, I was like, shit, I just wanted the college experience. I wanted these to be the best 4 years of my life. Like, I wanted what the movies talk about. I wanted that so bad, and that's not what I got. But I think what I got was so valuable to me in its own way, because now I can share my perspective with you guys, and I've been sharing my perspective for years now on YouTube, which has been so special and amazing. And that's not the question. The question is how to prepare for college. So my first piece of advice is, don't psych yourself out by thinking you have to have everything figured out before you step foot on the campus. This is a common misconception, I feel like, when students are going from high school to college, that you feel like you have to have it all figured out, and you feel like you have to know what your major is, and you have to have picked your career already, and you have to have picked the perfect school, and you have to, basically all these decisions that you've made have to be correct. And that is not the case. It's just not. I say this a lot, so if you've been listening to this podcast or you've watched me on YouTube, you've probably heard me say this exact same advice a lot of times, but you do not have to have it all figured out. The point of college is it is time for you to figure things out. So if college is a time for you to try and figure some things out about yourself, about what you like, what you don't, what you want to do, then why would you have to have it all figured out before you even get there? If the whole point of it is for you to figure those things out. Your college years are going to be very formative in one way or another. And it can be different for everyone, but it's just a huge period of growth and change. And those things are just super impactful on us as humans. And that's all it is. Don't psych yourself out because it seems so big. But once you're in it, you're going to realize that everyone else around you is just trying to figure it out. And that's okay. That's what it's there for. You're there to learn. You're there to grow and figure out what you want to do. And even if after college you still don't exactly know what you want to do, that's okay too. Because people change their minds all the time. And that's the beautiful thing about being a human being. You can do that. And you can do whatever you want because it's your life. And do what makes you happy. But do not psych yourself out. Like, you really don't have to have everything figured out. And this is coming from someone who changed their major 3 times, change their school. I had nothing figured out. And I turned out, in my opinion, just fine. And you will too. Second, I think you should familiarize yourself with the campus before your first day. I did this because I saw somebody else give this advice, or I heard this advice from someone, so I wanted to keep passing it on because it was so helpful and I used it every single semester. So before my, well, obviously when you first are going to college and you're a freshman, you're probably going to have a new student orientation or something like that, where you're going to get to meet people and you'll probably get a campus tour and you'll be able to just explore the campus more on that orientation. So that is a really big thing. Like, pay attention on that. Take notes in your brain of where things are. But before your first day of classes, for every new semester, I recommend doing this. Do a walkthrough and see where all of your buildings are and where all of your classes are, and kind of look through your schedule for each day and map your path so that you will feel more familiar and more comfortable when you actually go to do it. Because the first day of class, I mean, sometimes it's just like the syllabus, like they're going over the syllabus on the very first day. But just the anticipation of a first day of anything can be really overwhelming sometimes, or stressful. There could be a lot of emotions with that and you could feel a little bit nervous. But I have found that doing this walkthrough thing and going and seeing where your buildings are, where your classes are before you actually go to class for the first day is so helpful. So helpful. Then I don't have to worry about being late. I know how long it takes me to get from one place to the next. It is just such a good idea. I couldn't recommend doing this enough. I highly, highly, highly recommend you do this. And I did this for every single semester before classes. I would go to all my classes, all my buildings, and see where everything was. And it made me feel so much more at ease. Another tip I have, and everyone says this, but get involved. You don't have to do anything crazy. You don't have to become the president of some club like your first year, but just try some stuff. If you find something that sticks, great. If you go to a club meeting and you don't really fuck with the club, but you've met a person you like there, then maybe you've made a friend. Get involved and put yourself out there. I swear to God, that's probably the number one biggest piece of advice that everyone has ever given for college, is put yourself out there. But it is so true. I closed myself off a lot my freshman year. And I think that I suffered at that school that I was at because of that. I did not put myself out there. I was very much in my shell. And I ended up just not having the experience at that school that I maybe could have if I had put myself out there more. Or maybe I just wasn't meant to be there. I don't know. But I think that it's still a good thing to at least put yourself out there, get involved. If you see something that interests you, go to a meeting for it or ask about it. I mean, no one is going to think you're stupid for showing up to a meeting. No one's going to think you're stupid for asking a question or being interested in something. Those things are there for students who are interested in things. Like, they're there to build community, and community is a really important part of college. Obviously, your studies are the most important, but you want to have a community too, because having that is really important. They can be super uplifting and supportive for you. So get involved. That sounded really stern, but do your best too. And just maybe challenge yourself to put yourself out there once a week. I don't know. Set a goal for yourself that you feel like you can reasonably attain. And you never know what could happen. I mean, if you end up not liking something, you're not married to it. You can stop going. Or you can quit. It's not that serious. It really isn't. So you might as well just kind of try some things. And if something sticks, great. If it doesn't, you can move on and try something else. Next, this is a huge one also. Give yourself grace to get adjusted. It is difficult, especially if you are living on campus or you're going to a school that's away from home or something. The adjustment period is real. And it can be really difficult. And it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, at least it didn't for me. I cried my first night at college that I was away from home because I realized, oh my God, I'm in college. Like this, I'm living here now. This isn't like a joke. I'm not here for 2 days and then I'm going home. This is my dorm room. I'm going to be living here. And it's just a lot. It's a lot, which is completely okay because it's meant to be a lot. It's a huge opportunity for growth. And in order to grow, you have to be uncomfortable. You have to leave your comfort zone. So it is a good thing in the end, but just give yourself grace with it because it's probably going to take more than like a couple days or maybe even a couple weeks to get adjusted. But that's okay because most of the other students around you are going through the exact same thing. And you can always reach out to people who aren't physically there, like your family and your friends that aren't at your school, to lean on. And I'm sure that they will be there to help you as well. And then finally, give yourself grace to feel homesick if you are living away from home. This hit me so hard as a huge homebody. As I said, I cried my first night at college. And I was so homesick. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? Why am I so homesick? And it felt like no one else was as homesick as me. But that could have been, first of all, because no one said anything about it. Like, you have no idea how people are actually feeling internally if they're not voicing it. Other people could be homesick, and they probably are. But if you are a homebody like I am, I still am, then that part, if you're living away from home, is going to be hard. And that is a huge adjustment point. But I can say that living away from home at college, while it was uncomfortable, I grew so much. And I learned so much. And I feel like I gained so much independence. College is kind of that middle ground between having virtually no independence and living at home when you were like growing up, but it's not quite full independence and you're completely on your own. It's kind of that middle ground because you're living at college, but your main base is still your home. At least for your first couple of years, you're probably going back to your hometown during school breaks and stuff like summer and Thanksgiving and Christmas. You're going back there and that's where like your house is, but you're living in a dorm. But those are temporary housings, you know what I mean? So it's kind of a nice in-between period where you get new tastes of independence without kind of just being thrown to the wolves. So I think if you are choosing to live on campus or you're living away from home, just take advantage of that growth period because there's a lot to be learned in that period about yourself, about living with other people, about just living kind of on your own in general. And it is so beneficial for your growth as a human being and as on a personal level. And you're going to take a lot of those things with you when you do fully move out, like after college or whatever, and you go into the rest of your adult life. You're going to take a lot of the things that you learned in that period with you. Like, for example, one of the biggest things that I still do, and I'm 24 and I'm, 2 years out of college now and 4 years out of living in dorms where we had to do this, but at the end of the semester or before we were about to go on like a break of some kind before Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, or summer break, we would have to leave the dorms. Like the dorms would close for those breaks. And we had checklists that our RAs, resident assistants, gave us that we needed to do before we left. So it was things like empty out the fridge of any perishable items or take out the trash or unplug all of the electronics and stuff like that. So I literally have a checklist right now. When I leave my apartment, I have that almost same checklist that I still do. And I learned that by living in a dorm in college. So that for some reason just stuck with me so much. I've done it ever since. So little things like that, you just never know what's going to stick with you and you're going to pick up from that experience. So just be open to it. It can be really overwhelming and scary, but growth doesn't happen inside your comfort zone. So you have to embrace the uncomfortable in order to grow as a person. That's going to be it for today's episode because this has already been quite long. Thank you for listening. Sorry if this was a little deep. I didn't go into it with this intention of just really putting a lot out there on these topics that are kind of a lot. But I hope that you enjoyed. I hope that you could take something out of this and maybe got to know me a little bit better or got a new piece of advice or perspective. That is always my goal when I make these podcasts. So yeah, I don't even know how to end this, to be honest. Like this was a lot, so I'm gonna go. I love you guys so freaking much, and I appreciate you. If you've listened to this point, you are a freaking real one. Thank you for being here. Happy 20 episodes. I cannot wait. Oh my god, I cannot wait for my Taylor Swift weekend recap that I'm gonna be giving you. I don't think next weekend, because I'm gonna pre-record that episode because I'm gonna be busy this weekend with Taylor Swift, you know what I mean? But that'll be coming, and I'm so excited. So, love y'all so much. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day and an amazing week, and I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.